All right, let's open our Bibles tonight to Revelation chapter 17. And I don't know how far I'm going to get this evening because I need to lay a foundation down before I get into this chapter. And then once the foundation is laid down, we'll try to put a building on top of it, all right? But I got to get that little foundation for you. All right, now, tribulation period is almost over. It's almost complete. We saw last week the final of the final vial judgment that was poured out, and we saw that the city, the great city, Jerusalem, was divided into three parts, and we saw that in verse 20 of chapter 16, we saw that every island fled away and the mountains were not found. So the fulfillment of the book of Isaiah, where in chapter 40, when Isaiah said every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and then in verse 21, the great hailstones that fell, and yet in spite of all this wrath and all this judgment and the reeling of the entire planet, we learned that men blasphemed still. They just continued to blaspheme God. There was no repentance. There was no humbling of the soul. It was just complete and total rebellion against the Lord. Sort of where we are today. All right? There is so much rebellion today against the Lord and the things of the Lord. So you can understand how people could be like what is described here in verse 21. All right, and now that leads us to really what amounts to the culmination of the tribulation period. This is the final thrust of the devil and the battle between the Lord and between the devil, and it's going to be a frightening time. It's going to be a terrible time. It's going to be terrible for the people on the earth, the conditions that the world will be in, and how the devil is going to react to things. And so let's just read tonight. Let's just read about, 6 verses, I think. And then I want to show you something to just lay down a little foundation that we can build something on in the weeks ahead. All right, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come up, come hither. I will show unto thee the judgments of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." So this kingdom of the Antichrist, kingdom is the right word. This kingdom of the Antichrist is described by the Holy Spirit of God as being a prostitute, all right, a whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now that has the idea of sitting on the throne of many nations, sitting on the throne of many kingdoms. Verse 2, with whom the kings of the earth hath committed fornication. So the king, great whore, this Babylon, one that sits upon many waters, we are told in verse 2, has committed fornication with the inhabitants of the earth. And that's what's been going on during this tribulation period in chapter 6 all the way to the end of chapter 16. That's what has been going on. The devil, the beast, the false prophet, all three of these entities have been drawing and attracting and deceiving the world, and the beast has a great following in his kingdom. Okay, so verse 2 says, in the middle part it says, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Now you see all this is in a picture form, right? You do notice that. This is all in a picture form. And all of us can understand the pictures that are here. And so when it says here that the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication, what that simply means is that the inhabitants of the earth have swallowed hook, line, and sinker everything that the Antichrist has been dishing out. All right? The world is drunk with deception. The world is literally drunk, staggering with the deception that the Antichrist was able to create upon mankind. And so verse 3, he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. All right, now I'm going to stop reading right there. And I want us to pray real quick. And then I want to share a couple of things I trust will be helpful in setting or digging a foundation so that we can put something on it in the weeks ahead. All right, so let's pray. Father, thank you now so much for your wonderful word, and I pray that you will bless this, give us understanding of what we hear this evening. And Father, I pray that you will help me to say exactly what I need to say and to have your Holy Spirit's power upon the words. Bless your word, we ask now in Jesus' name, amen. All right, I want you to understand something here about, I'm going to try and give you tonight the big picture, all right? This is going to be the big picture of what's going on in this 17th chapter. For for thousands of years now. The work of the devil has been going on. I don't know if you have ever just stopped to think about things, but you know, the world back during Isaiah's time was filled with sinners, just like the world is filled with sinners today. All right? Men are sinners. All right? World that was here in during the Dark Ages. Well, it was called the Dark Ages for a reason. There was no light of the gospel. And so the historians refer to it as the Dark Ages. And I'm telling you, they were dark ages. All right, then you had the 1700s, all right? And a lot happened during the 1700s, the Industrial Revolution. But as man grew in riches, and as man grew in understanding of his world, he also grew in his rebellion and in his enmity against God. All right, so our world has just continued to get worse and worse and worse with each passing day. I have said to you many times from behind this pulpit that the world is not evoluting. Now that is what the devil would have all of us believe. The devil would have us believe that the world is evoluting, and it's not. The world is not evoluting, it is devoluting. It is devoluting, if you will. All right, we're not getting better as a society, we're getting worse. All right, men are not better today than they were 50 years ago. No, we're not better at all. As a matter of fact, men are worse. We have a different mindset today than what we had 50 years ago. And there is this hardness towards the truth, and there is this hardness towards God. There is this hardness towards the Bible. And we're not better. We are not going up. We are going down as a society. All right? Man's a mess, and it's not getting any better. All right? Now, my point is, all of this started long before our generation. And I think that is clearly described for us and shown to us in the Word of God. I think you can trace the downward spiral of mankind right out of the Bible. All right, now before I get there, have you answer. You help me with this. All right, the Bible tells us that there are two roads that we can take. All right, there is the straight and narrow road, and then there is the broad way that leads to destruction. All right, now they didn't name Broadway up in New York Broadway for nothing. All right, I hope you understand that. They had a purpose in mind. There is a broad way, and the Lord said that broad way leads to destruction. All right, so you've got two roads. You've got the straight and narrow, and you've got the broad way. Then there are two paths that we can take. All right, there's two paths that the Lord talked about. There's two ways that we can go. We can go to heaven, or we can go to hell. All right, there is not a third. There is no holding tank somewhere, you know, purgatory. The Lord Jesus purged our sins. He is our purgatory.
Amen.
All right, you understand that? He is the one who purged our sins. You don't go, if you're not in good standing, you do not go to some holding tank somewhere where a bunch of misers milk your family out of thousands of dollars to pray you out. That is absolutely the most abused thing that the world's church has ever done. It is absolutely has absolutely no biblical foundation to it. That was free. Okay? Then you remember that Elijah was on the mountain there with the prophets of Baal, and he said to them, "How long halt ye between two opinions?" All right, not three, not four, not five. How long halt ye between two opinions? And he said, if God be God, then follow him. But if Baal be God, then follow Baal. But there were only two options the people had. All right, now, I want you to go back with me to the book of Genesis. And turn for just a moment to chapter 4. And I want to show you something here. I'm going to call this the beginning of the conflict, okay? The beginning of the conflict. Now, that conflict started the minute that Eve entertained the serpent. That's where it began, right there. And the first evidence that this conflict was on, that the battle was on, is it begins here in chapter 4. All right, so notice, please, that the Bible says in verse, let's start with verse 9. It says, "And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not." That was a lie. "And then he asked, am I my brother's keeper?" And if you want my opinion, yes. Verse 10, "And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me." They're going to want to kill me when they see me. All right? They're going to want to kill me. "And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him." So in other words, what God was going to put Cain through was worse than death. It was more agonizing than death. And so he just had to bear it. All right, now notice verse 16. "And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And Enoch was born, and unto Enoch was born Irad. And Irad begat Mahujael. And Mahujael begat Methusael. And Methusael begat Lamech, or Lamech, I guess, let me see. Lamech. Is that a long, I can't see that. All right, so it's Lamech. And Lamech took unto him, two wives. Now, wait a minute. If you go back just one or two chapters, God created Adam, man, and then he created Eve, all right? It was not Adam, Eve, and Edie, all right? It was one man, one woman. And so here you get just two generations, three generations into things, and you've got the seed of Cain, the family of Cain, the genealogy of Cain, blatantly violating God's standard of one man, one woman. Nod your head. You with me on that? So I think it's safe to say that the battle is on. You know, I don't think the Holy Spirit of God led Lamech to take two wives. I don't think the Spirit of God did that. Well, if the Spirit of God didn't do that, then who did? The devil. Sure. All right, well, read on. It gets better. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Adah, and the name of the other, Zillah. And Adah bare Jabal, and he was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal, and he was the father of all such as handle the harp and the organ. In other words, he was the one that figured music out, no doubt with the help of the Lord. Verse 22, and Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives. Now watch this now. All right, so Lamech is now speaking to his two wives. Now why put this in here? Well, it's showing you the downward progression. It's showing you the direction that the family of Cain is going. And so what did he say? Well, basically, he's bragging, all right? He's boasting. And he says, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. Now, what does that mean? Well, he stood up and bragged. He came home, and he probably a little bandaged up. And probably the lady said, oh, my, what happened to you? And so he puffs his chest out, and, he's going to impress them. And he says, well, there was this guy, I came around the corner, and he was there, and he tried to stab me with his sword, but he only cut me, and I killed him. I just killed him. Wow. You killed a man? Yes, sir. teach him to mess with me. And then he had a son. His son came to his daddy's defense, and I just killed him too. And so now he's bragging. Notice that he is bragging. It's not just that he killed two people. It's he's bragging about the fact that he killed two. He's proud of himself. All right? And so he says, if Cain shall be, and this is still him talking now, folks. Get that, get this. This is still him talking. And he is bragging, saying, if my great-great-great-grandfather, Cain, if Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. So he's a big tough guy, you know. Oh, he's bad, isn't he? He's just a brute. All right. So now notice it says, now Adam and Eve are, you know, they're still with us. And in verse 25, it says, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. Seth. Now, Seth means, the name means appointed. Appointed. So they named him appointed for a reason. All right, they have two eyes, and they have two ears, and they have understanding, and they can look around and see the direction that their family is going. And they remember the promise that God made in chapter 3 and verse 15 after they sinned against God. And so Adam and Eve said, let's call this one appointed. And look at it. It says, here's the reason they did. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. All right. So she is saying, all right, this line of Cain, man, that's a disaster. That's not working out. They're brutes. They're terrible people. They don't know God. They don't love God. They don't respect God. They do the opposite of what they're supposed to be doing. And so she gets pregnant, going to have another child, and she says, I'm going to call this one Seth, appointed. This one is going to bring us the Redeemer. That's what she's hoping for. That's what she's hoping for. All right. Verse 26. And to Seth, to him also, there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Now, do you see that? Why is that there? Why put that in there? I'll tell you why it's in there. Because you and I are supposed to read this, and we're supposed to read this fourth chapter, and we're supposed to see Cain as a murderer and as a vagabond and as a fugitive and as a rebel. And we are to see his son and then his grandson and then his great-grandson and right on down till you get to Lamech, and then there's Lamech, who is a brute of a man who just puffs his chest up and says, I killed two people, and I think what he's saying is, I killed two people. If I have to do it again, I'll just do it again. I'm tough. And so Adam and Eve are sitting there looking around at their offspring, and they're going, good grief. We ain't going to get no Redeemer out of this. We're not going to get a Savior out of this bunch. And so God gives them another child. And they call him Seth, appointed. And she is praying and hoping by naming him Seth that the promised Redeemer of 315 will come through the line, the family of Seth. All right, everybody got that? Does that make sense to you? All right, so two roads, two paths, two ways. And that's clearly seen here. All right, so look at chapter 5. It says this is the book of the genealogy or the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man and in the likeness of God made he him, male and female, not 75 different genders. You're welcome. I mean, they're firing teachers because these little second graders declare their pronouns, and the teacher, who is normal, doesn't call them by their pronouns. And so they go and tell mommy, and the little helicopter mom comes flying in and gets the teacher fired. It's happening everywhere across the country. I mean, we've lost our ever-loving minds, folks, with all this garbage. We've lost our minds. Male and female, that's it. Did you hear that woman the other day before the Senate hearing, and she was asked, can a man, biological man, have a baby? And she looked so dumbfounded. I mean, like, how do I answer this? What's the politically correct? See which way the wind's blowing here. And she said, yes. Now, I was on the couch when I heard that. But not for long. Oh, I'm up yelling at her. I'm pretty sure if the window was open, she could have heard me. My neighbors probably thought I'd lost it. What in the world is wrong with people? We've lost our minds, folks. And what you're seeing is the culmination of century after century and millennia after millennia of this constant pressure from the devil fighting against God and God standing his ground. And when you get over to chapter 17 of Revelation, you are at the boiling point. It is all going to be settled right there. Amen. It's all going to be settled right there. But understand that this has been going on since Adam. It's nothing new. Okay? Nothing new. Now, thank God, there have been times through history where every now and then you get somebody with some common sense, you know, who will bring his family back to God. And God will bless, and God will do some great things, like Abraham, all right, like Isaac, like Jacob, like Joseph. But this battle has been going on ever since. Turn to Ephesians here real quick. Turn to Ephesians real quick, chapter 6. Chapter 6. Verse 10. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the what? Oh, those wiles have been coming up against God's people since the beginning of time. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now watch this. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now here's what that means. All right, everybody look right here. Look right here. Here's what that means. That means that I am not your enemy. Amen. That's what that means. But it also means that you are not my enemy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Oh, and by the way, if you do, shame on you. You need to get right with God. God's not going to bless you for wrestling against flesh and blood. You're fighting the wrong enemy. Well, you don't know what he said about me. Doesn't matter. This has been going on since way back in Genesis 4. Don't let the devil get you on the wrong side of things. Nod your heads. You understand that, don't you? All right, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. All right, Paul, who do we wrestle against? Well, against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. So you don't, your battle's with the devil. Your battle is with Satan. Your battle is with evil. And so is mine. But when we spend all of our time fighting one another, the devil just sits around and says, man, I got them where I want them. And I'm not going to take the time to show you that the contrast just continues on, but it does. The contrast just continues on. Go back real quick to chapter 5, let me just show you a couple things here real quick. All right, it says that Enos in verse 9, Seth had a son. His name was Enos, and then Enos had a son in verse 10, and his name was Canaan. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Canaan. Then he had a son, and his name was Mahalaleel. And then Canaan lived for a certain period of time, and Mahalaleel lived a certain amount of time, and then he had a bunch of kids, go down to verse 15. Mahalaleel had a son. His name was Jared, and then after Jared, there was a guy named Enoch. Wait a minute. Aren't these basically the same names as what you have in Cain's line? Yeah. Don't you see the contrast here? And folks, listen, all these names mean something. They all mean something, and they're telling a story. And so Enoch, in verse 18 of chapter 5, he had a son, and his son was Methuselah. Methuselah, the man that lived the longest in the Bible. Methuselah. And Methuselah means, his name means, when he is gone, it will come. When he is gone, it will come. What's that mean? When he's dead, judgment's going to come. All right, so Methuselah then had a son, and his name was Lamech. Same as the tough guy over here in chapter 5. All right, so you see the contrast? Only in chapter 6, this Lamech was a good guy. He had a great testimony and a great reputation. Methuselah lived, and then Lamech was born, and then Lamech had a son, and lo and behold, his name was Noah. Who made it through the flood? Noah. What happened to all these other birds? What happened to Cain's family over here? Well, they perished in the flood. They perished in the flood. Oh, so we're just going to start over. Yep, going to start over. Well, how'd that work out? Not very well. Not very well. Right? We're sinners. And so after the flood in chapter 7 and 8 and 9, and then you get over to chapter 10, and you have all the sons of Noah and all of that. And then you get to chapter 11, and we learn that the whole earth was of one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they stopped. They dwelt there. And they said one to another, "Go to, let us." Notice this. Let us. Oh, they're so selfish. Let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city." They didn't say, "Let us build a city." No, it's, "Let us build us a city." Well, why do you need a city? Well, we need a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. Well, why do you want to do that? Well, let us make us a name. Well, what's wrong with the Lord's name? I thought you were the sons of God. I thought you were the children of God. No, we don't want God. And that's what the Tower of Babel was all about. We don't want God. And the Lord God came down to see, verse 5, the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this," and I hope that language was English. Probably wasn't, but I hope it was. And this they began to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have, what's the next word? Imagined. What's wrong with our imaginations? They're wicked. That's what's wrong with them. They are evil to the core. And so God said, "Let us go down." That's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Godhead. "Let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad. The Lord said, "Scattered." They said, "Nope. We'll stay right here, and we're going to govern ourselves. We don't need you." So the Lord had to scatter them. Sad, isn't it? And the whole thing started over again. And so Revelation 17 is the culmination of all of this evil that the devil has been sowing since the beginning. All right, everybody got the foundation now? All right, we have a 7-day commercial, and then we will be back next Wednesday night. All right? Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for your wonderful word, and I pray that you will bless this to our hearts tonight. Give us understanding. Help us to see that right here in the Bible, it's all outlined for us. It's all mapped out. And now in chapter 17 of Revelation, end of the tribulation period, the judgment, the wrath is about to fall again. And Father, this is going to be it. This is going to be the culmination. And we're going to see the Lord Jesus sitting upon the throne of David and ruling in peace for 1,000 years. So Father, bless this to our hearts. Give us understanding, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.